How hectic is your life? If yours is like mine, it's pretty fast-paced, it's pretty challenging. We have a lot of work pressures, we have a lot of personal pressures. All of us at one time or another have been encouraged, challenged, even warned to stop and smell the roses. The only problem is, by the time we get around to it, the roses are dead. You're listening to Longitude. It's Friday, February 10th, 2006. I'm Darris McNeely. A few years ago, I ran across an article in Forbes magazine. It was actually the January 11th, 1999 issue. The article was entitled, "Let the Fruit Run Down Your Chin." Let me quote it to you. It said, "For every living thing, there is the necessity of dormancy, the deep rhythm of work and rest. For humans, it's the time to remember what you are. When you're traveling at high speed, there's a subtle sense of undernourishment because the good things we are doing don't have time to sink in. How did we get so busy? Technology is a part of the problem, but although it's tempting, you can't blame this on modern life or the free market. It was a problem when the commandments were written. Otherwise, there would be no need to write a commandment about it." Now, the article goes on, "At the same time, there's no question that after World War II, buying things became more important than what we did with our free time." This article goes on and it concludes by saying that we have forgotten the Sabbath. The Sabbath, an interesting concept that you wouldn't think you'd find in a business magazine like Forbes magazine. I remember when I read that a few years back, I was really astounded to see something on a religious topic like the Sabbath in the one of the premier magazines on business in America today. And it was talking about a religious concept of the Sabbath. Now, you know, since this article was written, the world is no less busy. I know in my own personal life, it's busier than it was at that time. It hasn't stopped. The only variable, of course, is myself. If we haven't been able to slow down, then perhaps it's a time that we stop and think about slowing down and challenging ourselves with some fundamental questions. Is there a solution for the restlessness in a world that will not rest? Does someone else have a demand on our time besides us? Think about that. Is it an employer? Is it another person? Another family member, a friend, someone that demands our time and our attention rather than us. Positive demands, even not negative. Most interesting of all, is it possible to give away our own precious time and to gain more? Now, that's an intriguing question, and I hope to show some light on that question as we move through this particular topic that we're going to move into in a series on the Sabbath. I don't know that there's any one question and subject that we could go into that might help us at this particular time of year to understand how fast-paced and hectic our lives have become. And at a time when, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, the nature and the environment around us is in a sense of dormancy, it might be a good time just to stop and to reflect on this question about the Sabbath. This article bringing it back out of the archives has piqued my interest once again, because all of these questions that I pose to you can be solved with one answer. And that answer is God's holy seventh day Sabbath. The Sabbath that falls on the seventh day of the week, on the seventh day of your calendar, which is Saturday. Now, when this article was written by a Protestant pastor, he was talking about a different Sabbath. He had a different day in mind. He was talking about the first day of the week, Sunday, which has become the traditional Sabbath for the Protestant Christian world. In fact, in the last 10 years, I've noticed there have been a couple of books written on the subject of the Sabbath. This particular book entitled Let the Fruit Run Down Your Chin, and then I just saw another book recently on a bookstore shelf that was talking about a Sabbath rest. So I've noticed in recent years a couple of books written by Protestant authors on the subject of the Sabbath. Now, they're coming at it from a different perspective than I'm going to in this series of talks with you. They're looking at the Sabbath either as the traditional day of rest that the Protestant world has adopted, the Christian world, which is Sunday, or they are talking perhaps even in just a general sense of taking a day, perhaps any day of one's choosing, and just resting or creating that Sabbath for themselves. But that's not the approach we're going to take here. In one sense, they are talking at and looking around at a very important principle, indeed a very important part of God's word and God's law, but they are not hitting the nail squarely on the head. And as a result, they, the writers, and those who certainly are seeking and looking for some changes in their life and looking for some answers to help them achieve certain aspects of freedom and rest and understanding in their own life about who they are and what God is doing and what the whole purpose of life is all about, they're not going to find the complete answer, the total answer, even by the approach that is taken in those books or by those various authors. They're not quite hitting the nail square on the head. I'm talking about God's Sabbath, what is embodied in what is called the fourth commandment, or the Sabbath rest, which is one of the great keys to making life work and to make it work well at a very high level. We've got to understand the value of the God-given freedom that is embodied in that fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. It is embodied and it is imprinted there in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4, where God gave the commandments to through Moses to the nation of Israel, an eternal spiritual law that was now being revealed to his own nation and embodied in that tablets of stone that were handed down at that time and a relationship that was formed with a people. The fourth commandment spoke to the Sabbath. Now let's ask ourselves, how important is the seventh day Sabbath to a Christian man and woman? What authoritative figure can we turn to? Well, no one other than Jesus Christ is the one that we should turn to understand just how important the Sabbath is. Christ did not distance himself from this day. He placed his signature squarely on it. It's something that many people don't rightly and fully understand. In fact, Jesus had a great deal to say about the seventh day Sabbath, about that Sabbath command and how to keep it. Many people feel that some of his statements can be interpreted to say that he was doing away with the Sabbath or such talk as that. In reality, he wasn't. He was actually putting his imprint, his signature, his ownership on the Sabbath in a unique way. He was clearing away the debris and the tradition that even in his day, 2,000 years ago, had accumulated upon this, the observance of this day and the understanding of what a Sabbath rest was to be. Now, Jesus Christ claimed the Sabbath day. There's one scripture I'd like to turn to at this point, and that's in Mark chapter 2. In verse 27 and 28. It's a well-known scripture and statement that Jesus made about the Sabbath day. Let me read it to you, beginning in verse 27 of Mark chapter 2. It came up in the question that the disciples with Jesus were going through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and they had begun to pluck some heads of grain and some wheat, some barley, whatever it may have been, in order to feed themselves on the Sabbath day. And Pharisees came and they had said, is it lawful to do something like this on the Sabbath day? And Jesus quoted an example from the history of Israel to show that indeed it was lawful. But then he went further. And in verse 27, he said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, that's a pretty direct claim that Christ makes upon this day. The word Lord here comes from a Greek word that actually means having power, authority, and ownership. And he says that he is the Lord, the Son of Man, is also Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus owns this day. It is his. And he placed his signature and direct claim upon the Sabbath day in a very direct way. In this one scripture, he alone dismisses the notion that the seventh day Sabbath rest, the actual fourth commandment, belongs to any one religion, any denomination, or any person at large. He claims it and he governs it. You know, there are whole denominations in the religious world who actually even claim this day as the seventh day as part of their whole name. And in one sense, they have a great deal of understanding of the day. But the day doesn't belong to any one religion. It doesn't belong to any one people. The Sabbath doesn't belong to the Jew or to the nation of Judah in any sense. Today, people talk about, well, the Jewish Sabbath. If one begins to observe the seventh-day Sabbath, people associate them with being either Jewish or perhaps mistakenly might claim that or think that they are Jewish. No, the Sabbath doesn't belong to any ethnic group. It doesn't belong to any one religion. The Sabbath belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He claims it right here in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, and he governs it. He governs what it is. He governs how we should use it. He governs what it will be, what it means to mankind today. And he certainly governs and understands what it will mean to the whole world in the future. The Sabbath even has a prophetic aspect to it. So it fits right in with our World News and Prophecy site here, and certainly with this Longitude podcast. But Christ has a claim upon it, and he shows us a balanced guide on how to gain the benefits of the Sabbath. And that's what we are beginning here, a seven-part series that we're going to go through, that we're going to enumerate, we're going to talk about seven keys to the Sabbath blessing. It's time that we understand this. It's a time that we look into what the Scriptures tell us about the Sabbath and even look at our own lives and ask whether or not we are coming up to the full dimensions and the full understanding and application in our lives of what the Sabbath was meant to be for us as human beings in this life, the blessings, the benefits that it was to give to us as we understand it, as we love it, as we observe it and incorporate it into our life. In other words, as we allow the fruit to run down our chin and to remember the Sabbath day. Christ gives a very amazing declaration of his sovereignty and his ownership and his direction as Lord of the Sabbath. And it's important and really even time that we ourselves ask whether or not we are stepping up to the Sabbath and realizing its full benefit, its full blessings. In our next podcast, we will go into the first of the keys to the Sabbath blessing. Join us at that time. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.